The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 16th of December, 2025, and you're on the clock with Happy to Be Alive Green. I also want to say a shout out to Happy Dale Knowles. He is the host of Something to Think About, right? A local podcast, been running for a number of years, speaks to the country's movers, shakers, more importantly, to the country's thinkers. It's a great podcast to check out. But I am happy to be alive today because yesterday, half a second was the difference between life and death. For me, personally, right? I was making my normal route home. And, I'm breathing because I'm still happy to be alive, right? Near catastrophic collision at Market Street and Shirley Street intersection. I'm sharing it on air because sometimes we have to acknowledge these things overtly, right? But more importantly, because I know, you see that area right there? Market Street, Shirley Street, is that Frederick Street, all the way to Government House? See that area right there? They have the good cameras. The good cameras. They have the cameras that could zoom in. They have the cameras, I'm sure they have the cameras that could pick up audio. They have the cameras that could read license plates. So yesterday, while I was making my way home, traveling south on Market Street at the Shirley Street light, in the left lane, attempting to cross over to Peck Slope, my light turns green, but I can't go because a car is negotiating the intersection. What do I mean by that? Well, they're trying to decide whether they have enough time to turn left on red. Although, despite the fact that you're not permitted to do so at that intersection. Don't mind that you see all the buses and all the people and all the red plates and all the blue and white plates and all the black and white plates and all the white and blue plates do it. Don't mind that. It's still against the law. Right? In fact, if you were permitted to turn left on red at the Shirley Street, Market Street, Peck Slope intersection, you would only be able to turn left onto Peck Slope. Yeah? Because there are two corners. But you'd only be allowed to turn left onto Peck Slope if you were permitted to turn left on red at that intersection. So when the car was trying to decide whether they had enough time to turn left on red from Shirley Street to Market Street, I had to pause. Thank God I paused. See, because when I pressed the gas again to go, a small gray car was weaving its way through traffic like a criminal, like they were criming and trying to get away from the authorities. And all I had was half a second to negotiate that brake pedal. Half a second. And I would have been gone. See, that's why I don't drive with my cell phone. In fact, I put it in my back pocket. I sit on it. That's why I don't have music playing with my windows up. Because I don't need any distractions. Because I drive in with y'all. And all y'all doing is distracting yourself from life while you driving. See, I know they have the good cameras there. I hope the good cameras are waiting. See, because even before I got to Market Street, Shirley Street, Peck Slope intersection, as I was coming over Blue Hill Road on the green light behind a bus, I realized that we were stopped in the middle of the intersection. You know, there's that gap right there beside the median that hosts a booth, a vendor that obstructs traffic and makes this intersection even more dangerous than it already is, right? We were stuck. I hate being stuck there because you're in between, right? You're in between the lights. So when we moved forward, you know, I realized that we didn't get stuck there on a red light. Like, we were forced to stop because the green light is on the Shirley Street side now and they were making their way onto Cumberland Hill. No, the bus stopped so they could buy something from the vendor that's next to Government House in the middle of the traffic cycle. Next to Government House. I think, man, but surely they have the good cameras next to Government House. Surely they can document every breach and infraction that's caused by a vendor that should not be there. Now, when I say should not be there, perhaps they have been permitted by the relevant authorities to conduct their business at that intersection, but they should not be there. It is a complete and total safety hazard. In fact, all the bushes, all the bougainvillea that decorate the booth should not be there. There is no visibility. And here's another problem. See, when the light goes off there, nobody has determined that it would be a safe option to direct traffic at the Shirley Street, Cumberland Hill, Blue Hill Road, Great Cliff Hill Corner intersection when the light is not working properly. Because nobody can see oncoming traffic from either direction because of this booth in the middle of a median that should not be there. It's so very simple. And yet, we're forced every day to navigate that intersection through a quagmire of rule breakers. People who refuse to use their turn signal, people who bully their way through the intersection. And then, when you get to the bottom of the hill, to your left, the police are all right there, all the time. Not focused on the space where the vast majority of the infractions occur. Which takes me to this story in today's paper. Of course, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners. Text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. We're going to go straight into the papers. Here's a story. Commissioner says police will saturate the streets over holidays. Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles assured yesterday that officers will be working to keep the public safe over the busy holiday season. Quote, I want everyone to know that the Royal Bahamas Police Force continues to be committed to the people of the Bahamas. Knowles said, quote, my team of officers are out on our streets. I will continue to move and make sure that every community in the Bahamas sees the presence of police in our communities. Quote, Junkanoo is coming up and we have already finished our master detail for that. We want people to come out and enjoy Junkanoo, enjoy our culture, but know that the presence of the police will be there for those who wish to cause mischief. Close quotes. Over the years, the holidays have become associated with an increase in crime. As the country heads into Christmas, however, the 2025 murder count is notably low compared to recent years, standing at 80. In 2024, there were 120 murders recorded. It is unclear where other crime statistics stand. But Noel said yesterday that she is thankful to her team for their, quote, commitment to duty, close quotes, over the past year. Quote, it's been an interesting year, and I'm grateful to God for all the beautiful things that have happened. And those things that were not so beautiful are learning curves for us, close quote, she said. Quote, so I say thank you to my officers and they will hear a little bit more from me in the new year. Close quotes. Commissioner says police will saturate the streets over holidays. So first question, why aren't the police saturating the streets now? Second of all, why are they saturating the streets? For what? To stand on the side of the road and collect tax for road Ministry of Energy and Transport? Is that what they're going to be doing? Because currently, the traffic exercises I see, all they're doing is collecting tax on behalf of the Ministry of Transport and Energy. They're not enforcing traffic controls. They're committing them on a daily basis, regularly. They're ignoring them when they're committed in their presence. And here's the problem. In the mind of the bad driver, that only reinforces the authority to break the law. The bad driver, that is. Right? When they see you, police officer, turning left on red where you're not permitted to do so. When they see you running the red light. When they see you obstructing traffic because you're on your phone. Don't saturate the streets with those officers because you're only compounding the problem. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. You seem to know how things work here. I want to ask you a question. We have the police band.
Mm-hmm.
When you join the police force, do you join to join a police band or you join to be a police officer first? Or is there a separate entity or entrance for you to join directly into the police band?
I don't know the specifics for entry into the force, but I imagine everybody enters to be a police officer.
When do those police officers who are in the band, do they ever patrol like regular police officers or they stay assigned to the band to travel and just play music? How does that work?
Well, you see, holiday time and the commissioner says police will saturate the streets over the holidays. I imagine those officers may be working double time. So they'll be required to show up to perform for particular state events and they will be required to suit up for high intensity presence, like the commissioner says, when they intend to saturate Boxing Day, New Year's Day, Christmas Day, those officers who would normally not be on patrol would be called into patrol. Now, it may be an instance where those officers would fill in for other officers who, like, for maybe dispatch, mind you, I'm not sure, but people who are in desk jobs may be required to suit up to go on the streets, and those band officers may fill that function. But we know that all officers come into the force and train to cover all entry-level functions of the police.
Yeah, I would rather them taking care of the criminals and the crime on the street than playing music. That's all it is. That's all I'm saying, all right?
No, man, I feel you, because the question is about the effective allocation of resources. Right.
And we seem to not be getting results with the current allocation, so we need more police officers instead of playing music. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think we need better training. It don't matter how many officers you have, you need better training, right?
Okay.
And so another question lies, are we focused on aspects of the force? Are we putting more attention than we can afford on other aspects of the force, and do we need to pull back and focus purely on training and I want to call it like continuing education of officers? So I appreciate it. It's a reasonable critique.
Is it 1,000 of them in the band?
No, man, it's not 1,000.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's not 1,000. And see,
yeah.
The next thing is, we need more police presence on the road, but we need proper presence on the road. We don't need more police who are going to ignore more traffic breaches.
True.
You know, and that's the rub. Is more police the answer, or is it better trained police? That's a question I can put on the table, and I'm going to invite representatives from the force.
But why are they playing music when they could be fighting crime?
No, man, I feel you. I feel you. But see that space where they play music? To be honest with you, what if all of the officers got a basic level of like musical training? But I tell you why. Because in those spaces, you learn things like spatial awareness and critical thinking and empathy even. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. My lady.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Now, when I joined the force in 59...
Yes, sir.
The police band were police officers.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, they went through training as a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I joined... Morgan had just come here, and he revolutionized the band.
Okay.
He brought in people who know music, and the couple who didn't know music, he bring the band into play, okay?
Yes.
Now, when I joined the force, you got to be 21.
Okay.
But then... Ingram put in place that, you know, they had these school band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they went into there and got the best and joined the band.
Mm-hmm.
Physically wise, okay?
Yes, sir.
And then when I joined, you got to be 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why they dropped the age, because you had some of those officers who joined the band, 121.
Okay.
The marching band used to be around the island.
Mm-hmm.
They get a crew from there and join the band.
Okay.
That's where the age dropped to 17. And then when you get 21, then you come up to be a police officer.
Okay.
Now, what I see in the big city, talking about America now,
mm-hmm.
police... firefighters, no police officer. They may know a little training.
Mm-hmm.
But they got their own headquarters separated.
Mm-hmm.
And the band people don't involve in the band. I mean, in the police force.
Okay, yeah. They stay separate.
They stay separately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, blessing to you and your family. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for thanking me.
Don't mind. You know, we appreciate that, because that's experiential knowledge and institutional knowledge. Thank you for sharing today.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, so in talking to the gentleman, I realize I want to refer to, and I come into you right now, caller. Give me 3 seconds and pull you right up. The purpose of the band, first of all, the band's not for us regular citizens. The band... Sorry, call. I was hoping I could hold you on 3 seconds. The band is for the officers. The band ain't for us. The band is for the morale and the, I want to say, training of the officers. Because in the band, right, like in the band, what you learn, coordination and discipline. I got a call on the line and we can get back to that. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Well, right here. Season greetings to everybody.
Blessings.
Yeah, just open line, you said, right?
Yeah, I can entertain your entertainment.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Entertainment, because my birthday on Friday just started off.
What's the date? Oh, okay, today is the 16th, 17th, 18th. The 19th is your birthday? Okay.
Yes,
happy birthday.
Well, you could be here.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be a Friday, right?
Yeah, I could be here. I mean, maybe okay. Maybe not me, maybe my cousin.
You see, you put it on your calendar there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm listening. I was listening to the news with the union,
mm-hmm.
communication union.
Yes.
With Sherry Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the bad service of PTC and the condition of PTC.
Well, did they talk about the bad service, or did they talk about the conditions for the workers?
Well, they talked about the condition of the workers, but, you know, sad thing about it, she was in management position, and ain't none of them changed. The bad service was, I'm with BTC. The bad service still exists now.
Mm-hmm.
So why your president, now you're talking about bad service, but your people, most unions don't train their people to serve their customers.
Well, it's not necessarily the union's job to train people to serve customers. Now, the union can provide skills building opportunities for its members, including, right, like customer service training opportunities. But it's not the union's job to train.
Not indirect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people serve the public. And mostly companies have problems with the employees.
See, now, what you trying to say? You trying to say that these people should not be protesting, or they should take more?
Now, she used to work. She was in top position at BTC. Don't forget that now.
Mm-hmm, but I think they're talking about, okay, so I'd be entertaining what you're saying, but there's been a regime change at BTC since her time, right? I think they're speaking to the new management, right, under the new multinational arrangement.
Right. And the reason why they changed management, because the old management caused BTC lose a lot of revenue.
No. We're talking about the sale. No. We're talking about the sale to what, CW? We're talking about the sale. Remember Leon Williams was on closer to between 2017 and 2021.
Yeah.
And he made this point. He said that when he was in charge of BTC, that he had created a catastrophic fund. That's what he called it, right? Mm. Where funds were diverted, funds that were legally available and accessible to be diverted to the catastrophic fund were diverted there. He said that when he left the institution, he left within that fund something like around $47 million.
Right.
He said
she talked about $10 billion at Ponciana.
Okay, so, hold on.
They still have, you read the pre-press report.
No, hold on, because you... I'm still not sure what you're saying, because it sounds like you are critiquing the union leaders. Hold on, man. Okay, good. It sounded like you were critiquing the union leaders, making a point that these are issues, or leaving us to infer from what you were saying that the issues that these union leaders are addressing now and calling the public's attention to are matters that were under their control when they worked for the institution. And I'm saying to you, first of all, are they critiquing, are they exposing a change in conditions due to the change in ownership of the ownership structure and the management structure of the company? Were you saying that these union leaders are making noise about things that they had the power to fix at some point in time? Or are you saying that the protest is reasonable, it's valid, and it's justified? You also, I thought, conflated issues, right? And I was trying to clarify, were the union reps discussing, producer, I don't know, I can't hear myself, were the union reps discussing poor service to customers, or were they speaking only to the working conditions for employees of the company? That's all I was trying to get to, Pumpkin Eater. But we're going to read from today's business section, BTC Unions Protest for Better Working Conditions. Members of both unions representing workers of the Bahamas Telecommunications Company staged a protest yesterday outside the company's Ponciana Drive office, demanding changes to their physical working environment and in the way they are treated by superiors. Two union heads also called on BTC to reinstate several workers they claimed were fired without notice and without proper adjudication of their infractions. President of the Bahamas Communications and Public Officers Union, that's the BCPOU, Sherry Benjamin, told members of the media yesterday that this particular industrial action was not about money, but about the working conditions for employees at BTC. Both Benjamin and president of the Bahamas Communications and Public Managers Union, that's the BCPMU, Kendrick Knowles, claimed that BTC has been in breach of its industrial agreements with the unions. Quote, "We're out here fighting for a decent workplace. We are out here fighting for the right to come to work in a safe environment, one that doesn't make you sick, one that doesn't stress you out emotionally, physically, one where you can come to work and express yourself without being terminated," close quote, said Benjamin. I bet you they feel like they cheering in a government school. I bet you they feel just like the children feel in the government school, but y'all expect them to learn and get A's. I bet. Knowles claimed that some of the buildings where BTC employees work are not fit for use as office spaces. Quote, "What is happening today is a clear indication that some remedies need to be put in place quickly. Our organization has completely ignored our industrial agreement," close quotes, Knowles claimed. Quote, "Behind us is a building that's over 50 years old. This building was never designed for human occupation at the level that it is right now. This was designed for equipment. It has no windows. This building has no clear fresh air intake in ventilation for employees to be in. No windows and no clear fresh air intake in ventilation, but yet they want us to work in this building. Quote, "Because of our stance, we have not been in this building for months now. The same thing is happening in Papal Track. There are serious health and safety concerns in the buildings at the locations." Quote, "BTC has completely ignored the health and safety standards that have been set forth by our government, as well as health and safety standards that have been put forth by," we go to page two, "International Labor Organization." Knowles said there are some employees who have been ill and blame their work environment for those illnesses. Guardian Business reached out to BTC for comment on the employee grievances, but nothing was returned up to press time yesterday. Knowles said while BTC is fixing the air conditioning at its Papal Track office, he insisted that it is not up to a standard that will help employees. He also called on BTC to rehire fired workers. Quote, "They are terminating employees without due process. We have discipline procedures in our agreement, and they have completely ignored those procedures. They've just gone ahead and terminated employees without giving them an opportunity to defend themselves," close quotes, Knowles claimed. Quote, "Natural justice gives accused persons an opportunity to defend themselves, but BTC went ahead without even accusing our employees. The employees didn't even know that they were being accused of doing anything wrong," close quotes, he further claimed. "When you see two unions from the same organization stand together, it's a clear indication it's a serious problem. We're saying enough is enough," close quotes. If y'all mean the Ponciana, the building there on Ponciana Drive? I was a part of the Technical Cadet Corps in 1990 and 1991 to 1992. And I did a part of my internship at BTC on Ponciana Drive. You know what 35 years ago. The building was a little wild. 35 years ago, the building was a little funky. You know? 35 years. Anyway, see, me as a lowly cell phone user, all I know is there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. There's a hole in the bucket. Somebody fix it. Just somebody fix it. Because we, the customers, are out here now with no real protections, no real recourse, no real oversight, no real guarantees. You don't know nothing. Just spend your money. I mean, people are sitting and tracking their data usage, and right, with professional, with academic, scholastic formulas, tracking their data usage. And it's just wild. It's just wild. But I guess this is the time for the customers to stand with the workers, even when they got a bad attitude. See, Pumpkin Eater, it's just important to be clear, right? It's just important to be clear. It's not the union's job to provide customer service training for the corporation that their members work in. It's the union's job to encourage that company to provide customer service training. It's the union's job to remind its members that when you work in a service field, you're going to field a lot of complaints. That's the nature of the industry that you work in. So you don't start off your day being sour because people are going to call and complain. That's the nature of the industry that you work in. And yes, we could stand in solidarity with the workers and at the same time say, but you know, we expect better, right? We can acknowledge the conditions that you're working in, but we still expect better. All right, let's go to the phone line. Here's a text. Even if you are safely parked in a lot, these people hit you. Something has to be done about drunk driving. The rules of the road need to be enforced for the safety of all. Let's talk about drunk driving. How many of y'all is get drunk on communion wine? Because it's like Sunday, all the drunk drivers are out. After 5 p.m., any day of the week, the road is filled with drunk drivers. In the evenings, just people doing whatever. Driving at 4 miles an hour because they know they're drunk and they know they have to be safe, but they don't know how to park their car on the side of the road and wait till they sober up or to call a ride. No, you're absolutely right, Texter. All manner of people be on the road drunk all day and night. It's another problem we have. We have a vision problem. People can't see. They can't see in the daytime, and they want us to believe they could see in the nighttime. As a text, the good cameras didn't work with the former police commissioner and don't appear to work with the current police commissioner. We need good glasses so police commissioners could see what the rest of us see. And so armed with reinforced glasses, rescue themselves from the bowels of abject failure. I feel you. But I just saying, after the tragic murder on Government House grounds of a Defense Force officer while he was on duty, you would think that the security, the surveillance in the area immediately surrounding Government House would be better. You would just expect it. So every day, I travel through or past Peck Slope. And let me say this, through and past Peck Slope. Twice a day, I encounter that intersection. And every day, everybody runs the stop sign from Peck Slope onto East Hill Street. The eastern entrance of Government House is now open. Even if it weren't open, you still have an obligation to stop at the stop sign. But y'all keep saying y'all passed this test, but you keep proving you don't know what the stop sign means when you see it. All right, there's lots to talk about today. There was the FNM ratification last night. The FNM ratification last night. And then you see in today's Guardian, FNM ratifies 4 candidates. In today's Tribune, FNM ratified 4 more candidates and PLP candidates to be ratified this week. Very interesting. Producer, let's go to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the leader of the opposition and the chairman of the PLP. You guys stay tuned. You're on the clock with Glad to Be Alive Green. We'll be right back.
One in every 4 Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help.
From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, Jumbo gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
There's a hole in the bucket. There lies a, there lies a. There's a hole in the bucket. There lies a hole.
We'll fix it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. We'll fix it, dear Henry. Dear
Welcome back to On the Clock with Glad to Be Alive, Green producer. How you find a Harry Belafonte, Odette? She's a Jamaican. What a gorgeous lady. Harry Belafonte and Odette singing There's a Hole in the Bucket. Oi! I am glad to be alive. Listen, since there's a hole in the bucket, let me go talk about my two most favorite people in this moment. Mitchell warns Pintard, be careful what you do and say. That was in yesterday's Tribune. Before we get there, I look to my right and I see this text. It says, Aaron, the drunk drivers are an issue, yeah, but something has to be done about these bike people. They are a danger and menace on the road, man. We're going to get to that in a second, texter. Mitchell warns Pintard, be careful what you do and say. This was in yesterday's Tribune. Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell dismissed Michael Pintard's threat to publish the names of public officials who failed to meet the March 1st financial disclosure deadline, warning the FNM leader to, quote, be careful what you do and what you say, close quotes, while accusing him of getting matters, quote, almost always, close quotes, wrong. Quote, this is a free country and the leader of the opposition does not have to threaten anyone, close quotes. He said in a voice note over the weekend, quote, if he believes that is what he ought to do in this free country, democratic country, he believes that's his duty. Don't threaten. Just go ahead and do it. No big deal. The problem with the leader of the opposition is that he almost always gets things wrong. So all I say to him is be careful what you do and what you say, close quotes. Why you call it a threat? I mean, like, why you call it a threat? Like, him saying that he's going to do his job is a threat? Like, what if he's giving you notice? So members who have not complied with the law could comply. I don't know. Why would you perceive it as a threat? We continue. Mr. Mitchell's comments followed a Tribune report detailing Mr. Pintard's criticism of the Public Disclosures Committee and its chairman, Bishop Victor Cooper. Pintard accused Cooper of being indirect and unclear, leaving unanswered which MPs, senators, and senior public officials or officers met the March 1st filing deadline required under the Public Disclosure Act. Quote, he should release the information, and if he doesn't, we'll just go ahead and release that information to you, Mr. Pintard said outside the HOA House of Assembly on Wednesday. There are some members of Parliament and members of the Senate who release consistent with the timeline. There are others who release, I guess, they had explanations after. There's at least one member who didn't release at all, close quotes. Mr. Pintard argued there was no justification for withholding the list, contending that transparency is a legal responsibility of the chairman and that delays erode public confidence in the integrity of elected officials. Okay, we're going to continue. In the 2024 Investment Climate Report on the Bahamas, the U.S. noted the Public Disclosure Commission failed for the past 13 years to meet its legal obligation to gazette reports concerning legislators' declarations of assets, income, and liabilities. Of course, this does not include the declarations to run in an election, right? It doesn't include those. Reports said the most recently gazetted report was dated December 2011, and it contained information on disclosures only up to 2008. Bishop Cooper also wrongly claimed last year that the commission was not empowered to gazette disclosures. Section 6.2 of the Public Disclosure Act states that after the commission examines declarations, quote, it shall publish a summary of that declaration in the gazette in the form prescribed by Form B in the second schedule, close quotes. That form calls for details including information about a declarant's spouse and children, particulars of bonds, stocks, shares, and similar investments, and an official's annual income. However, the law does not empower the commission to disclose who failed to declare. Instead, the commission can report noncompliance to the prime minister and the leader of the opposition, either of whom can have the information disclosed in the House of Assembly or the Senate, or have the matter referred to the Attorney General or Commission of Police for further action. We're going to turn quickly to today's paper. Tribune, Pintard challenges Davis to name all who missed disclosure deadline. FNM leader Pintard said he is confident not all PLP parliamentarians complied with the act this year and warned that the Davis administration has until Parliament resumes in the new year to account for the lapses or face public exposure. And for them to tell you they're busy, you know they're going to tell you, but be busy. Be busy trying to put our documents together for this year's disclosure. Mr. Pintard said all FNM members in both the House and the Senate met the filing deadline, but insisted, and then we go to page 7, insisted it's not on page 7. Okay. Payroll, this would be looking for. It is not on page 7. I got to find it. Anyway, we can end it right there. Okay, it's on page 4. Could not be said for the governing party. He challenged Davis to publicly identify which PLP members failed to file their declaration on time or at all. Quote, I think he ought to share that message, close quotes, he said. The disclosure deadline is March 1st, but the committee has not met its legal obligation to gazette the information. There you go. We're going to stick a pin right there and go to the text line. Now, members of the political class have said that continued agitation for the full operation of the act is like a waste of time, that we should focus on amending the act. How are you going to cause people who don't follow the act to amend it in a way that makes it more difficult for them to not follow it? I don't know. I always start with fire them. That's what to do. Let's go to the text line quickly. Miss Green, IRCA has failed us. IRCA failed us. There should be plans that allow prepayment cell phone users to exhaust the plan without it expiring with unused time on it. Or when another plan is purchased, it should show the balance from previous plan in addition to the details of that new plan. Okay, so it does show you, there's an option, you could check all your balances and it'll show you your existing data, your rollover data. See, but for you to get the rollover data, you have to get a package of the same value or greater, right? And then, see, they used to have this thing where it warned you, it gave you, it would send a notification to say, hey, if you don't renew in 48 hours, you can lose your rollover minutes. And another notification to say, hey, if you don't renew in 24 hours, you're going to lose your minutes. They won't roll over. But that doesn't happen anymore. So you got to hit, you got to go to your phone, in your on your cell phone, go to the phone app, hashtag or pound 200 star, or no, star, is it star hashtag pound or pound hashtag star? Anyway, the point is, you go there, that's where you go to top up, that's where you go to check your balances, that's where you go to select plans. But I don't think it's unfair to say IRCA failed us, right? Are there substantive provisions in law and regulations describing the relationship between the consumer and the service provider, describing the course of action for recourse, right? Is there any legislation, regulations, or policy that compel the service provider to respond to customer concerns? Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, how you do?
I heard you ran into some problems on the light when it was green, eh?
Yeah.
I listened to you a little late, Dasha, but I'm afraid that there's so many things to discuss. You know, it's frightening for me, but as it relates to the legality of the pedestrians and the motorists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people intruding and just jumping haphazardly in the road, et cetera. I really like to know the legality on that. They need to separate it because in the inner city, you know, I guess I see more imbeciles than many others, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's amazing, something that you said that was totally aphoristic, you know, dogs can cross the road better than some people.
Mm-hmm.
And given that the fact that the migrant population is high, and you're, well, I just want the public to be reminded, a lot of people in the inner city are out of their minds. They're actually mentally disturbed. They're challenging cars. There's no respect for motor vehicles anymore. I don't care what speed you're making, but speed kills. So let's slow down and remember the people that are out there who really, hey, there's a lot of people out there who really not mindful of what could happen with them in the car. But also, Ms. Green, is there an entity that you go to let's say a business policy. I was to a place the other day. The check engine light was not on. The mechanic knows that if check engine light is not on, you cannot diagnose the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yet still, he still charged me. There was also an incident in which an auto part, which cost a substantial amount of money, I gave the guy the VIN number, and it was incorrect. Mm-hmm. And when I went to return, he told me it was 15% restocking fee, which I thought was ridiculous. I don't know what's the legality of these things. Also, can we discuss the pros and cons of censorship? Because it seems to me as if you haven't learned anything from the pandemic, and nobody pays the price for giving misinformation, disinformation to the public.
Yep.
I mean, especially the status quo. I'm afraid.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, 52. You said so much there. I got a little lost looking at the text. And thank you, 52, though. What you said was so important. Speed does kill. Speed kills because, right, there are two sets of people involved in accidents. Or there's two sort of things happening. See, there are people who cause accidents to happen, and then there are people who prevent accidents from happening. Right? You speeding, you may not be the person causing the accident to happen. But because of your speed, you're unable to prevent the accident from happening. Right? And I think it's important to think about it like that. It's just me, though. It's only me. It's only me who thinks it's important to think about it like that. See, you're driving, you're speeding, you go in 32 and a 30, right? You have the right of way. You know that the road is clear. You're not forcing, you're not cutting anybody off. You're not speeding out of a corner. You have the right of way. But somebody who disregards the right of way. I mean, it happened to me 7 times yesterday. if people just run the stop sign and then drop their speed to 7 miles an hour. I saw somebody do that in front of a truck earlier this year. When I say a truck, an 18-wheeler. They flew out of Collins Avenue onto Shirley Street and then dropped their speed to 7 miles an hour in front of the 18-wheeler. All right, here's a text I have to read. It says, good morning, Aaron. I heard on Naughty and MJ show yesterday, Fred Mitchell called Adrian White wife Garland. Then the sad part, those PLP MPs, even the females in the PLP laugh what Fred said to brother at what Fred said to brother White's wife. I saw that clip this weekend. I wasn't sure if it was old or new. Thank you for bringing it up here. First of all, Adrian White's wife is of Haitian descent. How dare you use my good house of assembly to disparage that woman and Adrian White? How dare you? And then carry on like what Adrian White said in response is somehow the worst thing ever said in the world. I am a sissy here to tell you today I would stand with Adrian and say the same thing if you call my wife a Garland. My Haitian descent wife. How dare you? You're all really just clowning. But expect deference and reverence and respect. Y'all expect us to honor you and worship you. You act like it's your government, your house of assembly, your decisions to make, your money to spend. That's my representative. And I ain't vote for him because I can spoil my ballot. It don't matter. How dare you use the House of Assembly in that manner? See, I know. And they sat there and they laugh and they say, oh, no, no, that's a song. That's a song. We could say that. That's a song. Are you 4? Are you 7? Are you 12? How dare you? What example are you setting? How dare you talk about crime? How dare y'all round up these young black boys and girls? The Adelaide buses run still? See, that's what y'all used to do. How dare you? I mean, I'm disgusted. Thank you, Texter, for reminding me of that. Here's another text. I think the point is, Aaron, that the plans we paid for shouldn't be running out before we use them. That's like Super Value managers coming into my house a week after I bought a bag of bread, and he picks up the bread and the plate, grabs the half-empty bag and the toast in my hand and says, sorry, you had a week. Yeah, like if the product expired while it in my house and they come in and they pull it out and say, yeah, you can't use this no more, hey. Kind of like that, right? Yeah. No, I agree with you. See, ontological Americanness and cultural imperialism. Oh, they do it in the States, so you should expect it to be done here. No, you know what they do in the States? They have public consultations. They have working sessions with local experts and stakeholders. They go through legal processes to create legislation, policy, regulations, and oversight protocols. That's what they do. They don't just say, oh, they do it in the States, let's do it here. Yeah, morning, Aaron. The speaker said nothing wrong with Fred Mitchell saying that to Adrian White. Do you mean the same speaker who was in fear for her life and there's only the tall glass of water who saved her? And then I thought she's talking about one of the policemen, but it turns out it was actually the water on the table in the tall glass. That speaker said there's nothing wrong with Fred Mitchell saying that to Adrian White. That one? That one who said, oh, there's too many darkies in the room? Yeah, no. She's all right. She's lovely. Own it, dear Henry. She is not the moral arbiter in this situation. All right-thinking people know that it is intolerable, it is unacceptable behavior to come from our representatives in the House of Assembly. I was getting ready to submit, you know, they have the Caribbean English Dictionary. I was getting ready to submit something to them, you know. But I had to catch myself Because don't turn to derision when you're upset or frustrated, right? I was going to submit that the name for a group of Bahamian drivers is an embarrassment. And now I'm going to include in that submission the name for a group of Bahamian politicians is a mockery. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Glad to Be Alive, Green. And guess what? Tomorrow I can be glad to be alive if I wake up and I am alive. Y'all do the same. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry.
In what shall I fetch it, dear Liza, dear Liza? In what shall I fetch it, dear Liza? In what?
In the bucket, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. In the bucket, dear Henry, in the bucket, in the bucket.
There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.